Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. We spend a lot of time talking about how important it is to take care of your mental health. Therapy is an excellent way to do that. BetterHelp is an affordable mental health care option that fits right into your busy schedule. Just answer a few quick questions about your needs and preferences, and BetterHelp will match you with one of the thousands of experienced mental health professionals in their network. You can talk to your therapist over text, chat, phone, or video. You get to pick what works best for you, your comfort, and your schedule. If you feel like your therapist isn't the right fit, BetterHelp makes it easy to switch to someone new at no additional cost. So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. BetterHelp is offering our listeners 10% off their first month of therapy. Just go to betterhelp.com/musicspeaks to get started. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/musicspeaks to get 10% off your first month of therapy.
Hey guys, we wanted to take a quick minute to tell you about our recent partnership with the Amazing Bones Coffee Company.
Let's face it, you're probably sick and tired of drinking that old plain Jane coffee brand every morning. Well, fret not, dear listener. Bones Coffee is here to kick your taste buds into high gear.
Bones Coffee has a wide variety of flavors to choose from, including maple bacon, peaches and spring, island grog, and my personal favorite, chocolate raspberry.
Once you become hooked on the coffee, you'll be excited to learn that they have plenty of merch options to choose from as well. T-shirts, mugs, tote bags, the list goes on.
You can buy their coffee in whole bean, ground, and even evil single serve options.
Guys, we wouldn't lie to you. This coffee is great, and we know that you're going to love it too, which is why we have partnered up with Bones Coffee, and now our listeners have an exclusive discount code.
Make sure to use the code MUSICSPEAKS at checkout for 10% off your order.
That's right, James. Go to bonescoffee.com to kickstart your new coffee addiction and use the code MUSICSPEAKS for 10% off today. If you're anything like me, free time is limited. So things like yard work are just not doable. And if you're also like me, you don't even own a lawnmower. That is why All Above Landscaping is the right choice. All Above includes a variety of options when it comes to your landscaping needs, including lawn installation, design, irrigation, debris removal, maintenance, and much more. If you're in the city of Sumter and you're looking for reliable service at a friendly price, give All Above Landscaping a call today. It's 803-464-7414. Mention that you heard this ad on this podcast and you'll get a special discount on your first service. Again, that's 803-464-7414. Call All Above Landscaping today. Like so many of you, we battle depression through life's ups and downs.
Music has always been the one thing we could rely on to get us through the tough times we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music, share our stories through songs and lyrics,
interview musicians and other artists,
break down genres,
deep dive into band biographies,
and much, much more.
This is the Woodward Fail
Music Speaks Podcast
with Blake Mosley,
James Todd,
and Amanda Dolan.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Woodward Fail Music Speaks Podcast, where we fight depression with the power of music. I am your handicapped host, James Cox. And yes, we are back with another great interviewee. I don't know which one I'm planning to say here, but that's okay. We got him here for you. Matt Drago. Drago, I said it right because we discussed the pronunciation of it. It's Drago, D-R-A-G-O. You know, I love his last name to death. But he is a actor. He starred in the movie Somewhere in Montana, which I think it's everywhere out right now. Netflix, everything, right? Everywhere you want to see it.
James, thank you so much for having me on your show today. It isn't fully released in terms of all theaters yet. Right now, it's a limited release for Somewhere in Montana. It will come to more theaters eventually, but eventually it will come to VOD and streaming as well.
Nice. I can't wait to watch it because it seems so awesome. I just love the picture of it right now. I'm looking at it right now. But you mentioned just, I think, 2 weeks ago or last week on Podmatch. So we want to give a big shout out to Podmatch.
Yes, yes. Podmatch has been amazing. And Alex Sanfilippo, I mean, my God, what a great platform he's created for all of us to have wonderful conversations like we are today.
Exactly. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So I have not, okay. So I've been through my list of everybody who I interviewed before you respectively. And I have not interviewed an actor right now. So you're the very first actor that I interviewed before. So
I'm honored. That's awesome.
Thank you so much. Yeah. So
thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. Thank you for coming on. First question I want to ask you is, since we don't really reach out to actors because we try to let everybody in, what was it about us, this podcast, that made you want to reach out to us and just talk about music and like movies? Because they intertwine each other. And I think without music, there's no movies. And I think without movies, there's no music, you know? So what made you want to reach out to us right now?
I think you answered my question. I mean, it was the title of your show. I mean, it really is. And we could go into, Nolan and Jason Livesay, the composers for this film. When I watched it, there weren't even things that I knew about the film and how it was going to be composed and put together. And when I started to hear their music and the brilliance that they did with the, just power of the music behind some of the moments in our film, I was just taken away. So I think you answered my question for me in a way. It was just your platform and just the way that you look at music being just a real art form that just brings everybody together. And I believe film does that in a unique way, but we can't do it without the music.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because you're right about that. Because music and movies go really well together, and I think a spinoff for the show could be when words show movie speak. You know, I can do everything with it. You can start that podcast too. You know, because I know you love music and movies too at the same time. So I think that this music goes with everything, and I don't think that you can find one item or object that goes with anything like music can, you know.
Amen. Amen. 100%.
Music is motivating, moving, helps you heal, you know, which is the main theme of this, you know, because a lot of people now have depression, and we just want to reach out to those people who are going through like a tough time. So all we wanted to do is just give them like an hour break from life and just relax, you know, and that's what we wanted to do. Yeah. But
it's an escape. It's a way to, you know, just let yourself kind of take a breath sometimes. And I think we all need that sometimes. I think music is just the ultimate inspirer. And I know that pretty much all of my actor friends that I know, we use it in some capacity. Right. I will say specifically, since I'm on your show today, that I literally made a playlist because I actually drove up to Montana and I put like 100 to 150 songs. I actually was listening to it the other day, James. So it's like perfect that I'm on your show right now, because I was like wondering, I was trying to remember what I put on the playlist, but I really did. I turned it on the second that I left LA. I went up to Vegas for a couple nights, very much in line with the character, went to go see the Mad Apple show at New York, New York. The music in that are, you know, a lot of New York ballads that really just spoke to me as someone whose family's from New York City. And, you know, just went up to Zion and I was just listening to like Tom Petty and the Counting Crows and, you know, some Rager music too. It was like all over the place, but it really put me in the mindset that when I was coming over that hillside, and seeing Flathead Lake for the first time in Polson, Montana, I just really felt like this was going to be a family story, one that was going to be bigger than all of us. And I think the music just put me in that right place in my heart and my mind to get ready to tell a great story.
Nice. Well, since you mentioned that, so I want to go off the back of you. You mentioned two things that I really love. Okay, Tom Petty. I love, man, to God. Okay, so I just interviewed two musicians that are in a Tom Petty tribute band.
Oh, cool.
Yesterday, matter of fact. So I guess there's like a divine state here. And okay, so let me ask you this about Tom Petty. When I say the word Tom Petty, what song do you instantly think of? What's the number one song that you instantly think of when I say Tom Petty?
Free Fallin'.
Yes.
It's just it really does. It's like I just feel like everybody's had that time in their life where they just are ready to let go of everything that they thought, everything that they knew, and just like it's almost like a song that like for me is like just give it to God, right? Like just let the chips fall how they may. I feel like in many times in my life I felt like I've just had to let go, especially as an artist. And so Free Fallin' for me is definitely powerful. It's probably one of the few regrets in my life is that I did not go to a Tom Petty concert, and I wanted to so many times.
God,
And I
yeah,
mean,
that's
he's the ultimate storyteller. He's the
yeah.
ultimate folk artist in terms of just telling these really just really rich stories that resonate with everybody. And yeah, just an American treasure that we lost way too soon.
Yeah. Well, I would agree with you on that one because there's so many different artists that I really want to go to shows to, but I can't because they're not here. You know, Nirvana, Hendrix, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Tom Petty. You know,
Yeah.
yeah. So I think that they were gone too soon, like you said, and those memories for me just brings back the some great memories that I had in my childhood, and I'm sure it does for you too.
Yeah.
But you mentioned okay. So you said you had a playlist going to Montana, correct?
Yep.
So have you ever heard of Dan Seals?
I've heard the name, but I don't know his music.
Okay. Are you a big country fan? Because he is country, and he has a song called "Meet Me in Montana," and I'm like
Oh,
that's yeah. So that song it
I'll have
reminds
to
me of
listen to it.
my that song reminds me of my grandma because. That song we listen to every day, every hour. You know, it's such a good song. And yeah,
Yeah.
so yeah, because that brings back an instant memory of good times, you know.
I think of Wildflowers when I think of my grandma, which is
Yeah,
another Tom
okay.
Petty. And my dad's favorite song is actually from the Traveling Wilburys is End of the Line, which is a
Right.
powerful song. That's like a really like the lyrics in that one specifically make me cry because I think it's a very it showcases that like when you finish this life on this planet, you gave it your all. And I think that's what I love so much about that song specifically. That's my dad's favorite, is End of the Line.
Nice.
Yeah.
So do you have any favorite artists or bands or a specific genre that resonates with the most? I mean, your absolute favorite genre, artist, or band, what would that be?
I have a ton.
Okay.
It really depends on the mood that I'm in. I mean, I was one of those kids that would listen to really any genre. I would be on a national tour for a kid show and be listening to like Eminem. You know what I mean? Like, and just like
Right.
to get myself pumped up for auditions, Lose Yourself is definitely one of my hype songs and always has been before an audition. But I'm a big Swiftie too. I think that she's the ultimate songwriter. She just really, I mean, she the way that she has just evolved as an artist, and all the different genres that she's dabbled in, it really just shows just her pure love of the art and how much she feels music can re resonate with people. And she's kind of given it to different people and just kind of brought so many just really different worlds together. I mean, I think of Folklore and Evermore as two specifics that like are her during like the times that we couldn't be together, where we were, trapped in our own homes during COVID, and she just created like whole worlds that we could escape to. And when I think about her, I love her as a person. I think her fan base is incredible. Whenever I see her fans get together and trading like friendship bracelets, like I think like there's hope for the world because of just how much love like there is in those arenas. I was lucky enough to be in the eighth row with my wife at SoFi and going to her concert. And I mean, I just never experienced anything like it. I mean, like 8.5 to 9 minute, cheers, and just it's that love and appreciation for what she's done for everybody. And I think that's kind of what good art does. It really just, you know, resonates with you. It lifts you up in times where you feel low, or it gives you that specific, like, you know, conversation piece or that lyric that like resonates with you, or maybe is exactly where you are at your life at that given time. And you just listen to that same song over on repeat. Exile is one of my favorite Taylor Swift songs with Bon Iver. I just think that he has such a crazy voice, and that song in a nutshell is in many ways, I think, a reflection of what we're going through as a society right now, that we all feel like we're in exile from each other. So yeah, Taylor Swift, I mean, I could name just a ton, but like she is just, I think of her as an all-encompassing artist at this point because of how many different ways she's found to utilize music and her lyrics to resonate with so many different types of people across the world.
Yeah. Well, I have two co-hosts that absolutely love Taylor Swift, and I think millions around the world too. And my sister's husband, my brother-in-law, brought my niece Ivy to one of her shows, and she just freaked out. Oh my God! But he didn't spend anywhere about, you know, the astronomical prices that they were asking for, you know. So thanks a lot, Ticketmaster, right?
So, Ticketmaster, and I mean, yeah, they're sharks, man. Yeah. It's a shame because a lot of the people that like really should be at those shows, those moms with those those young girls, like the and that's what Taylor would want too. I mean, it's unfortunately something that needs to be cleaned up because I know how much she gives to her to her fans and to her cast and crew. I mean, a lot of people don't know this, but she is a really huge advocate of so many different things that she doesn't even, you know, she's not trying to get press from. She's just trying to do right by the world. And I mean, like even the people that were transporting the stages, like she would give them like $100,000 bonuses because of that stage and how important it was to ship it all over the country and the world. So I just don't have enough great things to say about her. I hope to meet her someday. I feel she and my wife would be best friends. I mean, I say that I'm a Swiftie. My wife is the ultimate Swiftie. If you got her on your podcast, she would literally spend the whole hour and she would go through everything that has meant something to her. And she's also a writer, my wife. So it's like a lot of Taylor Swift's music, I feel like, has really integrated to her soul in her expression as an artist too. So it's definitely in the family for sure.
Well, I will tell you that if by some God, miracle of God, you know, I have her on, I'm going to invite you and your wife and probably about 50,000 fans because there's a lot of people who want to talk to her if I have her on my show. You know, I got to include my sister, my niece, my co-host Amanda and Blake. I got to give a shout out to them, and they apologize to you for not being here today. But going on to music now, so you said you listened to all kinds of music, right? So is rock and roll one of your main genres that you listen to? Because if it's okay with you, I got two vinyl records I want to ask you about right now. And if you have a sentimental memory of them, or just tell me that you like the album, you know, you can go into that or share some kind of sentiment memory you have with it. Is that cool?
Because I got What do you got?
Yeah, okay, so rock fan. Okay, so I have Deftones, The White Pony album.
Sweet.
Are you a big fan or no, or do you have any?
I know some about the Deftones, but I honestly haven't listened to a ton of their music.
Okay, yeah. They're all right, you know. The White Pony is probably one of my favorite records of all time, you know, so I'm a big fan of Deftones, yeah. And Stone Temple Pilots' Purple record.
I did listen to a lot of Stone Temple Pilots growing up, for sure. Yeah, yeah, I knew that dragon because I liked him growing up because he was like a little baby Drago, right?
Right, exactly. Yes, got it, yeah. I don't know who designed that cover, but it must have been.
It's Wano.
I know, it's like a baby on a dragon for some people who don't know. But that's my favorite album that they did, up until Scott passed away for us. So, okay, so you are an actor. You've been an actor for some time now.
Since I can remember, I caught the bug early.
Okay, so Are do you play any kind of instruments, or did you always want to be a movie actor above a musician, or do you still have that like feeling to become a musician?
Yeah, I played with my instrument is my voice, so I've been a singer.
Okay.
That's the only instrument I play is my own vocal cords. I used acting as a way to get into a lot of musical theater. Musical theater was something that was really big growing up for me. I did a lot of musical theater in the local theaters. One of my first paying gigs was a couple musical theater shows in a dinner theater in Fredericksburg, Virginia, the Riverside Dinner Theater. I got to play in a couple kids shows, Mowgli and the Jungle Book, Hansel and Gretel, and Little Patrick and Mame, and just a really like humble experience for me because I was able to be on stage, but then I would be serving tables right after. So it really showed me that part of my dream was going to be the amount of work that I was willing to put into it too. And I really honestly have always like given myself like another career or another job to support the dream, but I've never given myself a plan B. Like I will never quit on this because again, I think being a dreamer is being a fighter. And I always say that, like, don't sleep on dreamers. We're fighters. Like, we'll do anything to keep the dream alive. And I'm a proud dreamer. And I've had in my journey a lot of downs, which makes moments like this, even talking to you today so special because it's all part of the journey. And when I think about how music has kept me going, and how these different songs, even in musical theater. I mean, I listened to a ton of musical theater when I was in college because I was auditioning constantly for shows. And I mean, those big ballads on center stage would just really resonate with me. And then sometimes I'd be the weird kid at the gym that would be listening to a John Williams or a Hans Zimmer soundtrack
God,
to
they're so good.
fire me
Yeah,
up to lift weights. You know what I mean? Like, or the Rocky soundtrack or whatever it was. And so, like, there's just so many elements. What I love about music is there's always that song that you need at the right time. And I feel like I've always been kind of an explorer of music and how that song I need in my certain in that certain part of my life, or whether I'm throwing a playlist together for my character, just to kind of get me in the mood. So there's just so many things that music can do to take care of you. And that's kind of what I love so much about just the absolute majesty that is music.
One thing that I really love about movies and music together is musicals. I've been a
For sure.
big fan of musicals, and I don't know which one is my favorite, but I will say right now, when I'm thinking about it, I will tell you that Sweeney Todd is the mainstay at my house because I play that movie religiously here,
One of my favorite songs. It was one of my audition songs. Was Joanna.
Joanna, yeah, that's a great song, yeah. But
Oh, it's
when,
such a great song.
yeah, but when I asked you about your music career, you said you've been up for a Broadway shows, musicals like Jersey Boys, Wicked, and West Side Story, and much more. Could you tell me about like okay, so did you all so I don't know what you mean by I've been up for them. Like, did you audition and like did you were you like a understudy? I guess is what you know.
So final callbacks. I mean, what you do a lot of times when you are part of the Equity Union, which is the Broadway Union for Actors, Actors Equity Union, is that you go to at the Actor Equity Building and you audition constantly. And those are usually just like your most general auditions where you go in there. Sometimes when you get your card, you wait a lot less time. You could go there when you were non-union, and I used to. Sometimes I would wait 4 to 6 hours to audition for Phantom of the Opera, right? But it was accessible, right? You didn't need necessarily an agent or a manager to get you in. And if you had a day in New York where you weren't doing anything, you didn't have a job or anything like that, you could just go down there and audition. And I think part of the joy that we have to find as actors is the joy of auditioning. I would go down there and I'd sing my 16 bars, and then the next step, and what I was talking to you about getting to the next step would be the callback, right? And the callback is where they've essentially said you are a good fit for this role, and they'll probably have you do, an excerpt from a song, probably more like a 64 bar count, something like that. Because 16, you can only do so much. 64 is, a good verse and a chorus usually is usually kind of what they want to hear. Sometimes, with different roles, they'll have you do different things. For Avenue Q, it was based on, your ability to do funny voices. So it was like, comedic voices and things like that, because you're a puppet. So it's very much
Right.
like, Afternoon Alone with my favorite book, Broadway musicals of the 1930s. Oh, hi, Rod. Hi, Nikki. It's like silly stuff like that. So they wanted to see like that you had like the comedic timing to do that. And then, just take the moments of that song, because I mean, Princeton's character is very pitter patter, so he has like a different way of singing that's almost like speaking, because he's trying to find his path, right? So that's a really great song that I love is Purpose. I don't know if you know Avenue Q, but it's just Purpose. It's that little flame that lights a fire under your ass. Purpose, it keeps you going strong like a car with a full tank of gas. Everyone else has a purpose, so what's mine? Oh, look, it's a penny. It's from the year I was born. It's a sign. So it's like doing like little funny things like that. And then for Jersey Boys, it was about like doing like a lot of falsetto and stuff like that, because Frankie Valli. So it really just kind of taught me a lot of different skill sets. I mean, I think my bread and butter was kind of the more ballad-driven shows like Phantom of the Opera and Les Mis, where it's, very, stars out in the darkness, a fugitive running, fallen from grace, those kinds of, and I was up for Marius, empty chairs at empty tables, like I was up for that. But there's like a lot of things that I think I learned with the ability to sing and act at the same time that really like shaped me as an actor, because I think it just added an extra layer of skill and an instrument that I had to keep up. Because again, I mean, most of the Broadway actors that I know, I mean, there were weeks, James, where I would be paying like $500, $600, $700 to three different people to be up for that role, because I would have a voice coach, I would have an audition coach, like there'd be different coaches that specialized in different skill sets, and you really wanted to be prepared, because I mean, doing 8 shows a week is hard,
Hard
and
on the voice,
so it's hard on a voice, and so you have to figure out how to pace yourself. You have to, learn different inflection points with different characters, because there is something different even in the two that I just did for you. If like, playing a little puppet as opposed to playing like a ballad. So I think it's something that really shaped me in the way that I learned how to act through singing. And I love Michael Levine. He's a really great acting voice coach that I studied with in New York City. And he always said, and I really, this always has resonated with me so much that I actually recorded a couple songs and put that as one of his quotes, is that, when you can no longer speak, that's when you sing. And I think that's such a great transition, is that the song a lot of times comes out of the need to do something bigger than just talking, and so I always loved that in musical theater, is that quintessential moment before the song came, where the song was coming and you felt empowered by it, and you needed to sing at that point because you could no longer talk. And I think that's kind of, in a way, how I was shaped as an actor in, even projects that I have where I don't sing, is what is that moment? Because a lot of acting is reacting. It's a lot of behavior. And so I always try to take that same approach, even if I'm not singing, to why do I need to say this next thing? You know, why is it really important for me to communicate? Because sometimes you communicate just by listening, right? And so, you know, I wanted to go back to the film that I'm in right now, Somewhere in Montana. Graham and I have a 10-page scene together, and it's such a beautiful conversation piece amongst two men, but a lot of it is based on listening. And when we talked about, you know, this scene off screen, we really wanted to make sure that, you know, nothing was too precious, that it was a conversation like we're having right now amongst two men, you know, that are uniquely different, and that's okay. And that we'll disagree on things, and that's okay. But we are trying to come from a place of finding respect for each other for the first time, and letting each other into our own important legacies, because this is a real beautiful film about legacy and an American legacy. And so a lot of that sometimes is done as an actor, not on the voice, not on the song, but on the listening too. And so, and that speaks to music too, because the power of listening is something that really, you know, gets underrated. And I'm saying that as I'm talking right now a lot,
right,
and
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
using my hands and really passionate, but there are times where you just have to listen, and there's such a unique power in that.
Yeah. Well, I am very, very, very jealous of you right now. Because you have a great singing voice, and I wish I could sing, but I don't think I can, you know? Because when I tried, this true story, when I tried to sing in front of my sister, she says I sound like a dead moose. I'm like, come on now, I'm not really that bad, am I? And she's like, yeah, well, so.
Do you enjoy singing?
I do. I sing in the shower all the time, and in
then
the car.
Keep singing, James, then keep singing.
I sing all, I don't care what she said, she's older than me, so I always have that honor. You know, you're older, you know. So, but yeah, let's go back to your voice though, because that's very interesting in its own way. When you were, you said you had Michael Levine as your voice coach, right?
Yeah.
So I know that you were singing way before you met him. What steps did he coach you through to make your voice? I mean, like, what was it about your voice that you thought you needed some more, like, tweaking, if that's the right word?
Yeah, I think what he did, which was so extraordinary, is he really dived into the stylization of each thing. As musical theater artists, you really have to get good at being a different type of singer depending on the project. You know, we were just doing Avenue Q, where the role is a puppet.
Yeah.
We were doing, you know, Marius from Les Mis. You know, he's coming from war. He's beaten up. It's more, you know, that quintessential
series,
80s
yeah,
ballad, right? And
yeah,
then you've got stuff like Rent. I was up for you know, Roger, and that's kind of more of a rock tone. So you have to be able to put different things on. You know, like, how did I get here? How the hell Pan left close on the steeple of the church? How did I get here? How the hell Christmas Eve last year? How could a night so frozen feel so scalding hot? How could a morning this mild feel so raw? You know what I mean? So
yeah,
you have to find different stylizations, even like Disney, right? Disney is a lot of, this is what he taught me too, is a lot of speak singing. You know, you're not singing on the voice as much like Hercules, right? It's, I have often dreamed of a far off place where a great warm welcome will be waiting for me. You know, so it's like you're kind of speaking it.
Right, but not, yeah, yeah.
So it's stylization. And I think that's something that really gets overlooked for a lot of my Broadway actors out there, is how hard it is, how hard we know that it is, how hard it is to really get good at manipulating your voice in different ways. Because I mean, pop is becoming a big thing in Broadway now. Sometimes
yeah,
you have like those shows that have been around for a long time, like your Rodgers and Hammerstein, where, you know, it's very full, right? We'll say, oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. You know, so like there's different, like that's more opera, really, you know? So it's like there's just so many different types of music and sound and voice as an actor in Broadway that I've just always been so fascinated by, because you're constantly just learning different ways to train your voice to be a different character, and not only to be a different character, but to be a different genre. And yes. So yeah. You know, it's so much fun. It's so much fun. It's one of the things that really like thrust me into acting, was how much I loved playing with my voice.
Speaking more about your voice, and I'm sorry if I'm going on and on about your voice, but I just love your voice today. I know that you have so going from one character to a totally opposite character must do a little bit of, I don't want to say damage to your voice, like going from Avenue Q puppets, you know, all happy and witty, to somewhere in Montana, which is more serious, you know. And I'm sure your voice gets more, help me with the word, I don't want to say damage, because it doesn't damage your voice, and just
no, I know what you're getting at. Yeah, I mean, honestly, yeah. That's where I was saying, like, you yeah. have different types of coaches. I mean, right. I studied with Ron Shetler yeah. At Shetler Studios was another one of my teachers, right? Because there wasn't just one. And his real goal was to make sure that you were always on your voice. There are certain, you know, there are certain genres and certain songs that might not jive with the type of voice that you have, right? Right. Like I'm a baritenor. That's where my voice lives. So like, you know, the pop rock, you know, really, really, really high tenor stuff, okay. like isn't in my range, and that's okay, right. because you have to figure out what your voice uniquely is to you. But then within the different genres, you have to, and this is kind of to your point, figure out how to protect your voice, because it's your only one. I mean,
you're like have one, but you know,
right. you can break a violin, a guitar, a trumpet, whatever, and you can buy another one, but like you only get this one. So you learn different ways of protecting it, and you learn different ways to utilize it. And sometimes like you understand, like maybe that isn't a good fit for your voice, right? Sometimes like there are certain characters that like I would love to play, but like it's not a perfect fit for my voice. So you have to figure out ways to, you know, just know that, but also to, in the different genres and the different things that you're doing, to make sure that you're not pressing too much on the vocal cords, that you're always lifting the soft palate, that you're always, you know, really, really engaging the diaphragm, that you are singing from a solid foundation, and that you are never putting too much strain on your vocal cords, because that's when you can fry them.
Right.
And that's when you, like you said, you can do damage to them, whether it's polyps or whatever, you can damage your cords, and you only get one. So these are why these teachers are such a big part of my backstory, because you're paying them to essentially protect you from damaging your one and only instrument as a voice artist. So, I definitely learned a lot from the different people that I studied with, and I was happy to spend that money, because it taught me so much about the investment in my craft, and you have to be able to invest with people that know better than you, that have been doing it longer than you. And if you can find those people in your life that you trust, that have proven it for years and years and years, those are people that you definitely want to glean a lot from in your career.
So for my audience that are aspiring singers or is singers, I know that like because I know coaches tell students to eat their fruits and vegetables and clean stuff, right?
Right.
So have you heard of pineapple juice being a savior for your throat? Because I've heard that from Judy Rodman, and I don't know if you know who that is, but that's a world renowned singer, and she says that pineapple juice is excellent for the voice. Have you tried it? Have you heard it?
I have not done pineapple juice, because sometimes the citrus for me is like a little bit too acidic.
Okay.
So I try to stay away from those things, but I'll show you my secret remedy right now. is I swear by these. These are fishermen
Fisherman's friend.
friends,
Yeah.
and these lozenges. Oh, I'm pop one in right now. They
There
are
you go.
like they are like
Lifesavers,
they
right?
are. You know that you know these?
No, 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 I don't.
Oh.
Yeah.
These are you know, they've got eucalyptus and menthol, and they just coat the throat in the right way. I know a lot of Broadway and opera singers that use these like religiously. And so again, you're always like trying to learn from what works for other people.
Yes.
And as an artist, like I think that when you're around people that like have been doing it for a long time, it's like, oh, you know, you're doing 8 shows a week. God, you've got 3 ballads in that show. Like,
you're
what do
gonna
you
destroy
do?
Your
What
right, yeah.
what do you do, right? What
Right,
do you
yeah.
do to keep the instrument ready to go? And a lot of times it really comes down to, you know, sharing notes with your friends, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, well, have you ever tried a fisherman's friend? And then I like went and got them, and you know, my friend even was like, well, they kind of taste like shit, I'm not gonna lie, but you'll get used to it. And they do, and they do such a great job where, you know, if you've got an audition and, you know, it's a dry day out and you're running, you know, to the audition and you're a little bit dried out, they just coat the throat really, really nicely. They're easy to take with you. And I pop them in even in between shows, like when I'm singing on stage, I come off. And so you're always trying to find different elements of what works for you. But a lot of times that comes with listening to what works for others.
Don't you wish you had like a gummy that tastes like just like good, you know? Because I hate Robitussin. I hate Halls. I think it's Halls. Yeah, but they're crap. Like going down, you know. It just doesn't taste at all. But it's so good for you, you know. So
100%,
that's awesome.
100%, yeah. You got to find ways to take care of yourself. I mean, that's really what it's about. As an artist, as an actor especially, like you have to be concerned about your instrument because this is your instrument. This is like you. And so you have to
Right.
consider it that way. And it would be no different than if you, you know, were you only had one guitar and that was your instrument for life, right? And
Right.
you treated it like shit and you banged it up against the wall, you threw it in the corner at the end of the day, a string snapped, you just kind of let it like go, like you, oh, I mean, obviously that wouldn't work, but it's that same kind of care that you need to, you know, demonstrate to your own body. And that's something that I know a lot of actors like really take a lot of pride in, you know, whether it's getting that facial or that massage or, you know, going to the gym and staying fit. I mean, there's a lot of work that goes into being ready to go, and we take pride in it, but it is a lot of work, you know, to take care of yourself, because you're running around a lot of times and you've got a lot going on, so you have to take those times to really take care of yourself. And I don't mean that just for actors, I think for everybody, you know.
Yeah.
We need to take those times to understand that like your instrument is your instrument, my instrument, that this is all we've got in life, right? This is it, right? And so
one and only.
So I try to empower people all the time because actors are you know, in need of putting that effort into taking care of themselves, like, you know, to for others to do the same, you know, because it's a good thing when you take care of yourself, you just feel better. And so so yeah, I take it from an actor, it's like, you know, do what you need to make yourself feel good at the end of the day and stay healthy as long as you can, and then you get the best life quality that you can at the end of the day.
Well, there you go. Yes, sir. Like I can't agree with more. Okay, so when you get a script and prepare for a role, right? Is there a specific song that you go to for every kind of role for the movie? Because I know we said that you know, puppets are one genre and Somewhere in Montana is completely different else, you know. Is there one one song or genre that you go to instantly to get like mentally prepared for this role? No,
it wasn't one. It was really just a conglomeration. I mean, I really did. I threw out so many different genres here. Wait, let me.
Yeah,
let's have some fun because this is such a great. I'm gonna pull up my Spotify playlist, and I'm literally going to just tell you how random my playlist is,
I
and
love it.
I'll literally just go down. So, all right, I'm just gonna go down the different artists. I've got Linkin Park on there. I've got Evanescence, like Bring Me to Life. I love that song. I've got Third Eye Blind. I've got Lifehouse. I've got Green Day. I've got Fall Out Boy. A little bit of Hollywood Undead. Some Dashboard Confessional. I love Hands Down, and As Lovers Go is a great song. I've got The Offspring. I've got Yellow Card, which is great. I love Yellow Card. Foo Fighters, Hoobastank, Nickelback, Good Charlotte, Three Doors Down, My Chemical Romance. I've got a lot of Chemical Romance. Bon Jovi, Survivor, Europe, The Final Countdown. I love that
Right.
one.
Yeah, dude.
Daughtry, Feels Like Tonight. I love that one. 30 Seconds to Mars. I've got some of them. Semisonic, Closing Time, Blink 182. Got a lot of them. A lot of Red Hot Chili Peppers, The Killers, Imagine Dragons, One Republic. So you could see it's like it
Yeah, it's ev everything.
Creed, Panic at the Disco. I mean, I just like I. You know what I did? Honestly, Your Guardian Angel or Red Jumpsuit Apparatus. That's a great one. I'm just like looking through this playlist because
Yeah,
I
I love
and a
them.
lot of musical theater stuff too. A lot of Spring Awakening. I was up for that role on Broadway. Melchior. I love that show. I love Passing Strange is another great show on Broadway that I really fell in love with. So I threw like just a bunch of different songs. Like I just went through essentially all my library. And I picked out songs that I felt uniquely could resonate with not just me, but my character of Fabian Verdugo. And so when I picked those different songs, like I really did, I like there would be times where I wanted the Counting Crows, I wanted Tom Petty because I was going through the hills, I was driving through the hills. But then, leaving LA, maybe I wanted like some some Green Day or some like harder rock and roll like Hollywood
Well, some
Undead or Evanescence.
Creed,
Creed,
dude.
Creed,
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody loves Creed now. Back then they were like, taboo, but now they're like, yes,
100%. So it was really just kind of like this playlist for me was just really cool, and it's something that I still listen to because again, like there's part of what happens when you really, and I'll say this, fall in love with the role. I fell in love with this role, and so part of that is just remembering the different parts of this role that I fell in love with it, and being on your podcast today has actually kind of reminded me and re-inspired me because a lot of what it started as for me was this playlist was like some music that I could put together that would really just get me in to this character and get me into the psyche of this character. And so this is in answer to your original question. This is why I'm here today. This
Everything
is
you're,
why it's such a great, 'cause I mean, I saw the title of your podcast and I'm like, that is so astute because words do fail sometimes. And sometimes you need something a little bit bolder. It's like how I said, like, my teacher, Michael Levine, when you can no longer speak, that's when you sing. And I just that always resonated with me. And it's the same thing that you're saying when words fail. It's that's why I'm here today, James. This is great.
I think I'm going to steal that from you. When words fail, that's when to sing. I'm going to use that if you don't mind, because that's a
When you,
great.
yeah, absolutely. It's when you can no longer speak, that's when you sing. You
Yeah,
know, because
I will
there
write that down.
Yeah, because I mean, you've seen a Broadway show before, and you can tell when the song is coming, like when the big moment is coming. But I loved that moment being on stage, when I felt the song bubbling up. I felt the intro of the song coming in. I knew where my part was, but it was that emotional journey of I've just had a scene, and now I can't speak anymore because I have to sing. So it's when you can no longer speak, that's when you sing.
That's all. That's amazing. That's amazing. So, let's go back to when you first were like. Let's go back. If you don't mind me asking, how old are you right now? Are you in your 40s, 30s? Are you in your
30s.
30s? Okay, so I'm older than you. I'm 45, but that's still cool. Okay, so let's go back to when you started finding out you wanted to be actor, right? Was there ever a movie soundtrack that or score that inspired you to become a actor in your, I mean, like, yeah, I guess. I don't know what I'm trying to play or, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think just the, all music, I think, has so much enhanced what the, how films come across, how different moments in films come across.
Right.
And so I honestly, like, I just got immersed in so many different types of movies that, like, I would look up, like, the composers. And then sometimes what's really cool when you get to the, when you get to a point where you can watch a film with without the music on,
yes,
right? When you're when you're looking at some of your scenes and they don't have the music and then they do, James, oh my God, it's so different. It's like you finally are watching the scene that you had envisioned, but you can't really envision it until there's that last piece to the puzzle, and that's the music. So, yeah, I don't know if that really answers your question, but I do. I think there was a really cool time where we were in the studio with Brandon Smith, the writer director of Somewhere in Montana, and Eden Mattson, the producer, and Joe Borden, the producer, and we were doing our ADR, which is that we were laying over our voice tracks in studio, you know, to clean up some of the audio. And it was just this really wonderful you know, process of finding out how it sounded, just the scene, the raw clips essentially.
Yeah.
And then seeing how it resonated when that there was that big swelling music that was coming into that scene.
Yeah.
Like it made so much more sense. Yeah. And that's why I just I have such a fascination with composers and just how they take in that scene, like, you know, as a creative, and then, you know, create this masterpiece to really enhance the the dynamic of the scene.
Well, I just wanted to know because I heard you mention earlier John Williams, you know, and he's one of the greatest composers of all time, and I just wanted to know if he was in your childhood so much that you like, I gotta be, this is great. I just gotta be an actor or with something with music, you know? Cause I mean, you can't deny John Williams' craft, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
so many great things, you know?
I think it really stemmed before that, even in musical theater, you know, because again, the score is the same thing as the score in movies, right?
Yeah,
they're one and the same. And I love music so much that I feel like I've learned in different ways how that really just lifts up the entire story that you're trying to tell.
Right.
You know, and so I think because of that, like, it's always just been a real love of mine and something that really just goes hand in hand with the actor is having the foundation of a great musical score behind you.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, how important do you think music is in storytelling? But I just think you just answered it for me.
I can read your mind.
Yeah, because you said music in movies lifts up, you know, the scene, or like, you know, I mean, it's creepy music, it's, you know, fun music, you know, hard rock brings up a different tone in that scene. So, so I just think you just answered it for me, which is great, because, yeah, my great minds think alike, right?
Absolutely.
All right. We do have 10 minutes, and I just want to do a few fun questions for you before you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got four questions for you, okay?
Okay.
So when you're in your room, we're going to do this, 16 years old, okay? 16-year-old Matt, you're in your room, you're looking around your room. What posters on the wall do we see that are musical or movies, you know, movie-based or musical-based? What posters are we looking at?
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a great question, James. There's some sports posters up, too.
Yes. You can deny sports. Sports in the 90s were great, you know?
Yes. There's definitely a Yankees poster for the 2000 World Series up there. There is a poster that I actually have downstairs, and I jokingly say that I married Jessica Rabbit because my wife looks very much like Jessica
Nice.
Rabbit. She's an Irish redhead. She's a
Nice.
stunner. She's beautiful. So I have that poster up, which is I'm not bad. I'm just drawn that way, you know.
There,
Like
yes,
I love that
yeah.
quote. So my dad actually sent that out all the way from Virginia,
Oh
and now it's hanging downstairs in my house. So that actually is a poster that I still
no.
have.
So what did your wife say about the poster when you got it from your dad? You're
Oh, she loved it. She
like
loved it.
that's
In fact,
me.
there was one Halloween, because our dating anniversary is actually on Halloween, where I dressed
Nice.
up like
That's
Roger Rabbit and she
yeah.
dressed up like Jessica Rabbit,
Yeah.
and
Perfect.
we went to a 5-star dining experience, and I look like a silly rabbit, and she's just this bombshell with the
Right.
sparkly red dress. And we went to Budokan, which is a Morimoto restaurant down in Chelsea. And I just remember people were looking at us, but they were looking at me. They were looking at her, you
Yeah,
know?
right. It's like I don't want to talk to him, I want to talk to her. You know,
That's
like,
exactly.
yeah, let's go this
100%.
way. Right, yeah.
100%. That
Nice,
was a great.
nice.
So no, she loves it. It's a great movie too,
Oh,
actually.
yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I'm going to watch it after I get off with you because you inspired me to watch that movie. You know, I haven't
See?
seen that. I have not seen that movie in years, brother. Yeah, it's been.
I was just talking to another awesome host about it, and it really is. It's funny because I never even realized it growing up about how much it is a dynamic between the cartoon people and the real people, and it's
Yeah.
almost like that clash of the two worlds. And you know, like there's just this quote that somebody told me recently, which is true. It's you know, or somebody's asking Jessica Rabbit, like, why are you with Roger?
Yeah.
And her response is because he makes me laugh, and the power of laughter. You know
Yeah.
what
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean? And I just think that that's such a beautiful, you know, sentiment to explore, especially like really in the times that we're in. It's like Roger Rabbit is kind of a pertinent story. I mean, if you think about our worlds kind of colliding right now, people
Right.
being at each other's throats, it's like that's kind of what Roger Rabbit is. It's like the
Yeah.
cartoon world and the real world, trying to find common ground together, and that's very much in the vein of Somewhere in Montana, really.
Yeah,
So what
nice.
other posters were in my room?
Yeah, did you
Teenage
have
Mutant Ninja Turtles, because I grew
dude?
up in a,
I
and the original one, James, the
yes,
original
yeah,
one, like
no,
the
yeah.
original one, the original one, you know, was one of my favorite movies. I mean, I swear I watched that like non-stop. That was the Jim Henson one, so
Yeah,
real costumes.
okay, so did you like Turtles 1 or Turtles 2 better? I gotta know. Wait. Yes. Oh, yeah. Turtles
It's
2.
gotta be the first one. I mean,
Yeah.
the second one wasn't bad, but the
Second one was
first one
great
is
too. Yeah.
the second one was great too. But
Yeah.
and honestly, the first two really kind of go together. They're
Oh.
kind of like the same sort of, you know, tone and same movie. But the first one is just so epic to
Yeah.
me. I mean, I love so many moments in that. And I actually grew up in a dojo, so my dad
Oh,
is my
nice.
sensei.
Yeah, nice.
I'm a fourth degree black belt in Okinawan Shorin-Ryu. I've been doing karate my entire life. And so I really kind of did. I grew up like a Ninja Turtle. I also have three other brothers. So it was the
Beautiful.
four of us. So it's so,
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
so it's like, you know, my brother Michael was always the one that would kind of like go off, do his own
Michelangelo,
thing.
yeah.
You know,
Yeah.
no, he was actually
Oh.
kind of more Raphael. He was kind of like, you
Oh,
know,
God,
I'm gonna go
yeah.
do my own thing. Michelangelo is actually my brother Richard, who was like living on a boat in Alaska, a very free spirit. And then my brother Marcus was you know, the brainiac, you know, he got the
Yeah.
perfect scores, and he was Donatello, which left me as Leonardo.
The leader. See, I mean, come on now. You
The
can't.
leader,
Yeah. Yeah.
exactly. So it was just really, it was one of those like you know, shows and movies growing up to me that just made so much sense because I was, you know, I was living with a real life Master Splinter, my dad Arthur Drago,
Yeah.
and so growing up in the dojo and kind of being around the karate family, it felt about like us against the world, and so it was definitely one of those. So that poster's definitely in my room, and I had a vision board actually growing up,
Vision
which.
boards work. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually really do. Now I'm remembering it. It's still there. It's actually in my bedroom. And every time I go back, I really look at it and I reflect on it. And it's a lot of the stuff that I wrote up there
It came true.
is coming. It's coming true. You know,
Nice,
not
nice.
all of it has come true,
Well, no, I mean, it does take time, you know?
But it takes time, and it's so cool because I don't see it that often. Like I said, it's back home in my room in Front Royal, Virginia. But every time I go back in that room and I see that vision board, I might have just another thing, James, that I can kind of check off the list, which is really nice.
Nice. I do want to go back to Turtles 2, okay?
Yeah, sure.
For just a minute, brother. All right.
Yeah.
I love the movie to death, but in the cartoon, I never heard of no Toka and Ravlar. So I'm like, really? You know, those characters, I did not like those characters. I love them now, but back then it was kind of like, I never heard of these guys. It was always Foot Clan, Shredder.
It was Shredder,
Bebop, and I don't.
Rocksteady.
They didn't include him in Turtles. You can't have a Turtles movie without Bebop and Rocksteady. You know,
I agree. I think it was harder to do that, like, that I guess that costume probably was a lot harder to do. I think that was part of it, but I just like, I love the first one because of how evil Shredder is. Like, he's just like it's
so
real,
dark and gritty,
it's raw, it's dark. It kind of reminds me of the Tim Burton Batmans, like the Michael Keaton,
I
you know,
love them.
Batmans, like where he's like coming out of the rubble after his plane crashed and he's bloody, like he's beaten up. Like he's walking up the stairs in that cathedral and like, you know, he can barely make it up. And it's like I like heroes that I feel like have to overcome the pain. You know what I mean? Like that they're not extraterrestrial. I like heroes that are real, and of this world. And so that's why I think I liked the Turtles growing up also, because I'm a martial artist as well.
Yes. Awesome. Three more questions. Okay. So this is going to be fun for me because I never did this before. Usually I ask my guests, about the Mount Rushmore of musicians. Okay. What are your favorite musicians? But for you, I'll go and do that. And then we're going to go to top four movies of all time. What's your top four? Let's do the four music stuff now. Okay, so we're going to do top four of your favorite bands or artists. What would they be? You got four of them. So I know this is going to be extremely, extremely. I know, brother. It's always this hard.
Why are you doing this to me?
I don't know, dude. It's great. Yeah. Nick, can you think today? You know? Yeah. Yeah.
I have to think of the ones that have resonated with me most in my creative journey. I think for the most part, and really the ones that like I've lived with for years that like I can't imagine them being taken away from me in my life because of what an impact they've made.
Right.
You know, Counting Crows is definitely up there on, because I think they're just such great storytellers, and I can get lost in their songs. I think that the, you know, musical inflections are just extraordinary. And I do, I think like you can always hear different things with the, with just the messaging of the Counting Crows. So they definitely would be up there for me. Tom Petty, as we've discussed, I think has to be up there too.
Yeah.
For me, just because, you know, there have been times in my life where I feel like I've needed a Tom Petty song, and so I can't imagine
free
not
falling,
having,
you know, I mean,
exactly.
So yeah, I mean, well, that song resonates him with me most, and then I think it would be like either Mary Jane's Last Dance or Into the Great Wide Open, but Free Fall will always be the number one Tom Petty of all time for me, and
100%.
I guess for you, yeah.
100%. And then Taylor Swift. I mean, she's just like, she's done it all at this point. I'm such a fan of just her just musicianship and really honestly just like the clan of people, her Swifties, that like have come together, because I do think that that group in and of itself is such a powerful group. And they lead with love and they give away friendship bracelets to each other. And it's like, if you're in the crowd, like if you know, you know,
Right.
is what I'll say, you know, because they're just such a powerfully dynamic and positive group that really really transcends what she's been able to do as an artist and with her platform as an artist. So I got to put her up there as well. And then
And then you got one more, I
the
think, right?
I
Yeah, I know.
know,
It's
you
like,
reminded me.
it's
It's like, I was like,
it's a hard
ah.
man.
The fourth one's so tough. There's a lot of emo music that I listen to, but I don't think I could pick
One,
one. I mean, that genre to me has definitely been there for me in many times that I feel like I've needed it, and I think emo seeps into rock. So I think for the last one, I will take a
Take a
mini pass and say just
okay.
like, you know what I mean? Like I think
Well,
that like,
the good thing is we'll have you back many more times, and you can give me
there you
all
go. Maybe
different.
I'll be prepared next time. But yeah.
All right.
And then obviously all the Broadway stuff too, to add a fifth. It's like, you
You
know, a
got
lot of the
Cats, Wicked, Rent. Like, I mean, it's
100%. Like a lot
Sweeney
of these
Todd.
artists, Sweeney Todd, like, I mean, like all of these composers, I mean, like they have shaped me too, because I think there's nothing better than a big ballad or, you know, a song that resonates, because it's when it's on stage, you're seeing the person act it, you're seeing them become the character. And so there's so many soundtracks that, again, too long of a list, but you know, it's definitely music that has impacted me and has been a really big crucial part of my journey.
And to go off that, what you just said about them becoming the character real fast. I think we don't know how many actors or actresses take the role because that's what they lived in up until then, you know. You understand what I'm saying? It's like they'll act the role, but maybe that they're acting their own story behind that role. No, does that make sense?
Absolutely. I think there's roles that you have to maybe do more research on in terms of how do I get myself emotionally to the place where I can understand where this character's coming from, right? You know, like your serial killer roles, or you know, like the things that are uniquely different from you, but you have to find human elements within that character to be able to lock yourself in a little bit, so that you can feel empowered to, you know, be motivated with those characters' motivations, even though they're not the motivations that you would have in your real life. So I think that is, you know, something that is more research based and something that you need to dive a little bit deeper on in terms of outward of your psyche and who you are. And then there's roles like Fabian Verdugo, where even my acting teacher at one point said, you know, you can forget the role Matt now, or you can forget the character named Fabian and just be Matt. Just bring yourself fully to it. And there were elements of it that were uniquely different to me, but I think the more I let Fabian become a part of myself, the more I realized how much I loved and admired him and what he stood for and what he was trying to do and what he was trying to say and what a fighter he was and how much he cared about other people on his set that were his family and just all of the different things that I discovered even in playing him that were very close to home for me, that I am as Matt very legacy driven, that I as Matt really do care about other people and their well-being, and I will be the last off the ship. You know, I want to help people out in any way that I can, and I've proven that in my own life. And so I love that about me. I love that about Fabian. And sometimes what happens when you rap on a role that made such an impact to you is you let parts of them stay with you. And I definitely feel like Fabian for me has stayed with me in many ways because of what an impact he made on me. So now that I am, you know, producing and getting into producing with my wife, I'm thinking to myself, well, a lot of the things that I've learned from Fabian, I'm going to put into my next chapter as a creative artist.
Can you hear me? Okay, because my webcast pro went on me. But I'm going to ask you one more question, and then we'll let you go. Okay, so we're going back to when you said, like we talked about it before, and this next question resonates with the whole aspect of this podcast, okay? This podcast is called When Words Fail, Music Speaks, right? And that can be anything from the truth, right? So is there one artist, album, or a song that you get listened to right now, but you can't tell me, your wife, your dad, and your mom how it makes you feel deep inside your soul? This is probably the hardest question that I've asked you today.
I feel like you might have to have me back for a second show. Oh, no. Thank God that.
Yes. Yeah, let's do it, dude. Yeah, let's do it, buddy. Yeah.
I hate to tap out, but that is such a rich question, James, that I feel like I couldn't come up with an answer right now. My head is spinning. That is a great question, and you are a great host for asking it, but I don't even have an answer. You know, for you right now.
Well, tell you what, come back and you can answer that all day you want to, you know, because that's the premise of the podcast, because there's many different songs that I feel like I can't do it, you know, because I don't know if you heard of the Dead Deads, but they have a song called, I think it's Santa Beam This Up or something, some kind of alien stuff, you know, but I'll send you the song, you know. And when I listen to it, it reminds me of my family back in the 90s, you know, back when everything was okay, I thought, you know.
Sure.
But I can't tell you how much that song makes me feel, you know. It's so it's so ingrained in me, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah. I do, I because I just saw it on my playlist. I remember your guardian angel from Red Jumpsuit Apparatus being a song that I listened to on repeat quite a bunch. It was a time in New York City where I was kind of feeling down on myself, and I felt like I was yearning for you know, connection and really just getting to the next level of my career, and feeling like I was going to fight for it, and I was going to bleed for it, and I was going to do whatever it took to realize my dreams, because dreaming in life is, there's nothing better than it. That's the thing. There's nothing better than being a dreamer. And I think, you know, being on your show today and really just reminiscing about how much music has inspired that journey really kind of meant a lot to me too, because it really is. It's something that I haven't reflected on a lot. And this is the first podcast that I've done it on. So thank you.
Nice.
Because music really is a big integral part of who I am right now, sitting in front of you. And I think it's become a big part of creatively how I have been able to grow and evolve as an artist. So thank you, James.
Yes, sir. Thank you for coming on. And I just want to give you a big shout out too, because okay, so everybody listening to us talk, you can go to mattdrago.com, Drago, just like the Rocky IV Ivan Drago, but it's pronounced differently, like we discussed earlier. You could go to Matt Drago. I almost called the Ivan. I'm sorry. MattDrago.com and see about he's got a press kit and news and everything. And he's on Instagram and possibly, are you on TikTok? Because I know.
I am.
Okay.
I am. The easiest way is to give me a follow on Instagram at Matt Drago, MattDrago. From there, I've got my link tree. That's okay. Got all my different links. It's got my website for my acting, which is mattdrago.com, and my production company, dragonhunterproductions.com. It's also got my IMDb link if you want to look up my past projects and future projects. And then I share everything that's going out about the movie, about different projects that I'm in, as well as life, right? Because part of the journey is life as well. So give me a follow on Instagram, and then you'll get all my other social media platforms off of that as well.
And I'll be sure to check out Somewhere in Montana. I can't wait to see it. You know,
I can't wait for you to see it too, and I can't wait for you to listen to the music, because
yes,
it's beautiful.
Oh my God, yeah, because I'm sure music sets up some scenes in that movie perfectly. You know, I mean, that's how music goes with music. I mean, movies, yeah,
Even in the trailer, I mean, John Shimke, he's worked with the Livesays a couple times now, and I mean, he cut that trailer together, and it's like the two of them knew each other. This is why being a collaborator and working with people that you know, like, and trust matters so much, because then you come up with, really, really wonderful films such as this one.
There you go. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We do want you to come back so you can tell us the answer to the last question. And I am going right now in that room and watch Roger Rabbit and
Yep.
then Turtles. And
Yes.
I love you for mentioning that, because I haven't seen them in years, brother. You know, it's
They're
been
so great. I might have to do the same. I might have to do the same.
Yes. All right. Cool. Yeah. So we'll welcome you to come back anytime you want to. And just keep in contact with me. And I feel like we're best friends.
Absolutely. This was
Yeah.
wonderful, James. Thank you so very much for having me on your show today.
Thank you so much for coming on, Jeff. Okay. And with that said, everybody, I just want to thank you so much for listening. And always remember, when words fail, music speaks. Bye, guys.